Finatu Baragovry is brought to you by Smart Mop. It's a way better mop than the Swiffer Sweeper. All you have to do is twist the handle and you can squeeze all the water out. And while you're at it, you can get a nice upper body workout. What's up, guys? Welcome to Finlatu Baragovry. Free iPhone giveaway in the description if you can spell it. Just kidding. Today we are here to talk about the effects of race and inequality in the story of To Kill a Mockingbird, a novel set in 1930s South about a lawyer named Atticus Finch that defends both white Americans and African Americans. Today, as always, we have Finley Cooper, Raghav, Henry, and Pat in the studio.
From the start of our country, racism has been an issue. Our country was built on slaves, and even after President Lincoln freed them through the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863, racism still existed throughout the United States. In the Deep South, many laws continued to limit black people's rights after they were freed.
African Americans were considered less equal than white people, and the N-word was often used to classify them. In To Kill a Mockingbird, Atticus tells Scout, "Don't say the N-word, Scout. That's common," from page 85.
As Atticus said, the N-word was very common in the area and time of the novel. This says a lot about the culture where the white majority constantly uses slurs to refer to African Americans.
Also in the novel, Scout doesn't even know what the N-word is, but the way it is used makes it seem to her that it's a bad word. And so, an example of this is when it says, "Francis looked at me carefully, concluded that I had been sufficiently subdued, and crooned softly, N-lover," which is on page 112. And so it makes her feel that it's a terrible thing because of the context around the word. And so just like any other word that you don't understand, the intent of the word is obvious. So that's why Scout gets offended when people call her dad an N-lover, even though she doesn't know what it directly means.
Several times in the novel, a lady named Miss DeBose constantly taunts Jem and Scout as they walk by her house to get to school. But Atticus longing for Tom Robinson. Sometimes Mrs. DeBose held us not only a fence waiting on tables, but one in the courthouse longing for N-words. From page 135. This drives Jem mad at the start of the book.
Jem even got so mad he destroyed some of Miss DuBose's flowers and bushes, all because of the N-word and how bad it was considered to be.
Several times the story also shows how African Americans were treated unequally compared to white people. In chapter 12, Calpurnia, the Finch's housekeeper, took Scout and Jem to the African American church.
Scout was very taken by surprise when she realized the African American church was in an old building the freed slaves bought with their first earnings, and it had no hymn books. Scout then asked Calpurnia, "Cal," I whispered, "where are the hymn books?" "We don't have any," she said, on page 160.
By the end of church, Scout and Jem learn how little money the government gives to African American churches. The African American church tries to donate money to Tom Robinson's family after an African American man was accused of raping a white woman. Scout and Jem also realize how little money the African Americans have and how unable they were to support Tom's family.
During the trial involving Tom Robinson and Mayella Eel, Atticus provides clear evidence that Tom was innocent. However, the judge stated he was guilty just because of his skin color. Jem clearly sees how unfair African Americans were treated and how someone needs to make a change. It was Jem's turn to start to cry. His face was streaked with angry tears as we made our way through the cheerful crowd. "It ain't right," he muttered, all the way to the corner of the square where we found Atticus waiting, from page 185.
You can see the works of racism and inequality also during the Civil Rights Movement, especially for the group of people known as the Freedom Riders. The Freedom Riders were a group of white and black people that wanted to test the law of desegregation on interstate buses by riding the buses deep into the southern states, from 1960 to May 1961. The Freedom Riders faced several challenges, as many whites were unhappy. They were harassed, and their first bus even caught on fire from the Ku Klux Klan. They were also arrested and forced across the border. Racism can also be seen in present times, but definitely not as often.
The most recent event of racism was the rally in Charlottesville, Virginia on August 12, 2017. That was set up by a group of white supremacists that wanted a statue of Robert E. Lee, a Confederate general during the Civil War, to stay up. The white supremacists believe that white people are superior in many ways to the people of other races. Everyone else wanted to tear it down, but because it was a sign of slavery and inequality. It was later torn down, but with a cost. One person died and many more got arrested.
Racism can also be seen when looking at the difference between white and African-American pay. If a white person got paid $19 an hour, a black person would get paid $15 an hour for the same work and the same quality. Also, the unemployment rate for African-Americans is 6.4% higher than for white Americans. For women, it's a 5% gap, but it's still growing. When there was a poll about why this is happening, most of the employers said, air quotes, unexplained. Organizations like the NAACP are still trying to make this stop and achieve equal pay.
Unexplained. That's a pretty weak excuse for racism.
Yeah, I agree. It's really sad. I believe that equality is possible through hard work and an open mind.
This has been a good conversation, guys, but we are almost out of time.
Yeah, let's wrap this up.
Some questions that could be asked are, why do you think that problems developed between different races in the first place? Or what would you do if you were an African American back in those days?
Some others are, if you were a kid back in those times and your parents told you to not talk to African Americans, would you follow that rule?
Also, do you think that Tom Robinson had a chance of winning the case in the first place?
Please tag your answers in the comment section below with the hashtag #FinRat2BillRockoff3Answers. We'll answer them shortly.
This was a really good discussion, and it's really good to talk about these charged topics so that we raise awareness.
Thank you guys for listening to this podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have questions about race and inequality in To Kill a Mockingbird, leave a comment and we will get to you shortly.
Okay guys, let's go for 10,000 likes. Smash that like button in the face. Remember to subscribe and ring that bell to join the notification squad. If we hit 100,000 subs, we're going to have a face reveal. It's going to be so lit. You can download our podcast on iTunes, follow us on Spotify, sub to us on YouTube. Just remember, next week we're going to be interviewing our special guest, Bill Nye. Yeah.